Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Finding someone who shares your values in today's culture isn't easy. And being single around the holidays isn't easy either. That's why Catholic Singles created a website and app where single Catholics can meet and get to know each other that focuses on values, activities, and interests. For over two decades, Catholic Singles has been fostering deep relationships because your faith matters. Start today at CatholicSingles.com.
Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to IgnatiusBookClub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health-sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com. CMF Curo. Healthcare fully alive.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo. Happy third Sunday of Advent.
It's a special Sunday in Advent.
We call it Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is a Latin word that means...
Rejoice.
Rejoice. It's from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, which happens to be the second reading on the Sunday always, which says rejoice. And we're rejoicing because we're getting close to Christmas. We're getting close to the reality of the incarnation and close to Jesus. So sometimes priests might wear a little different color vestments for this weekend, maybe a few extra decorations in the environment, perhaps.
And the third candle in Advent will be a pink one, more than a violet one or a purple one. In Lent, we have a similar weekend on the fourth Sunday.
Yeah, I call it Laetare Sunday.
Laetare Sunday, and I get them always confused, so that's why I was asking you before we starting. So here we are, Two Guys and a Gospel, Father Ricardo Martin. I'm the pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Racine, Wisconsin, and also the Vice Chancellor here in the Archdiocese, from whose studios we are recording this podcast.
Father Philip Bugacki, I'm the pastor at Christ King and St. Bernard Parishes in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, and happy to be here as the other guy. Third Sunday of Advent, what's the gospel? It's a little bit of a longer one, but where am I going to read from?
We are still reading, or we are going to be reading this year from Luke, a beautiful gospel. Out of the four gospels, probably the more modern writing style, it was the most elaborated Greek, and it's chapter 3, verses 10 to 18.
The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none. And whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion, do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people.
What a great gospel.
It is. This is John the Baptist's very clear call to conversion, at the prompting of the people. What should we do? And that stands out so powerfully to me. What should we do? What a great question. And what a great question that we're confronted with as we approach God, and also as we evangelize, as we try to bring more people to Jesus Christ. What should we do? This is what the crowds are asking.
And the answer is different for the first group of people, who are just people, Jews, it seems. Second group is tax collector. Third group is the Roman soldiers. See how the message is different for all three groups. It's a bit of what should we do depending on who you are, you know? It's not a general answer. Did you ever notice that there are three different groups of people that come to John with the same question? The answer is different depending on who you are.
You're right about that.
And he seems to be more, obviously he's more demanding to those who are closest to him, his people.
Correct.
And a little less demanding to the Romans, who were foreigners, who were not Jews.
Right, exactly. And this is the reality of what we would call being pastoral, is we think about our relationship with God, with human beings, kind of how that's presented, in particular as pastors and also as lay people, as well as we communicate the faith. It's different ways of communicating that. It's different ways of explaining the call to conversion to different people, depending on where they're at.
Yeah, and we ask, so some parishioners who are very faithful, and some come, I remember recently a mass at 7 a.m. We have mass at 7 a.m. on Thursday, and only six people come, but very dedicated, because how else would you be so early for mass? And to put up with me so early is not a good thing, because I may not be in my best mood. But I was telling them, you see, if we come to Mass on a Thursday morning, of course we are going to be more demanding with those who are with us. So, you know what I mean? Even in a situation like this, and less demanding with someone who's coming for the first time. And sometimes we seem to do the opposite. We seem to be tougher with those who are not coming. And then we give a pass to those who've been there forever, which is absolutely the opposite.
I know, and I don't understand that. I think that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. We who are maybe more present, who are there more, have a greater responsibility as well, versus someone who is exploring and is coming.
I have to admit that the second part of the gospel is one of these homilies I've preached before, and it will sound like very clear. So John the Baptist says, here I am bringing you a baptism of change, of conversion, a baptism of cleansing, of water. But Jesus will come and bring a baptism of Holy Spirit and fire. And both aspects of baptism have made it to our ritual of baptism today. Baptism is of cleansing from original sin, but also it gives us a mission. The Holy Spirit and fire is mission for me. And John the Baptist says, my baptism is of cleansing. The baptism of Jesus is going to be of Holy Spirit, of mission. It's something that I've preached before, so it's not original, but I think it's something that maybe many people haven't noticed. It seems to me that we end up sometimes being followers of John the Baptist and the cleansing part more than the mission part, and we get stuck with following John the Baptist when we are followers of Jesus. So that the sentence, or the catchy sentence for a homily like this, would be, we are followers of Jesus, not followers of John. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean
right, by
that? Yeah.
I think you've communicated that very clearly, and I hadn't quite appreciated that perspective before, and I really like that. Mm. I'm thinking of the transition that happens from what is really the first paragraph, and maybe this then the second part, the second paragraph, as John the Baptist provides really some challenging words to these three groups. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're really harsh words concerning conversion. And then how do the people react? Now they're filled with expectation. Mm-hmm. It's almost like I wouldn't quite say excitement, but there really is a longing in their hearts. Mm-hmm. And it's a reminder to us of not to be afraid of the call to conversion and communicating that in the world. We do that with charity and in the right ways to different groups. But people are looking for the truth, and sometimes are expecting us to communicate that, even though it's hard to see. And I've used this example in homilies before. Maybe I've mentioned it here before, but love my doctors and my medical people. And we're friendly, and they're Catholic, but if they don't tell me I'm fat, you know, I'm going to lose credibility with them. And they might want to be nice to me and not tell me that and not push me. But even I, as much as I like them, would lose a sense of respect as far as that. And I think that's important too, in a spiritual sense as well, to call people to conversion. And now people are longing; they wonder whether this might be the Christ, because they're hearing that challenge.
I have a similar story. I had a doctor. Now she went out of network. She changed hospitals, so I lost her, and actually I found her the other day at a fundraiser, and initially I didn't know who she was because I had never seen her outside of the office.
Different context.
But
yeah.
But many without a white cloak.
White coat. So,
but it was very funny because a few years ago, I may be in need of losing some weight again, but I was very much in need of losing some weight, and she told me, "Father, you are obese."
Oh.
And it upset me a little bit, but that's what got me to realize that I had a problem and I had to find a solution. So I think that's exactly what you were saying.
In the end, remember, the call to conversion in a spiritual sense is an act of love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the tricky part then is how that's done, you know, mm-hmm. and when it's done and in the right way that's done. But to call someone to conversion is to love them. It's to care about them.
I don't know if you would agree with the next thing I would say, but aren't we as a church sometimes too obsessed with the cleansing part, with the purity part, and we've put less emphasis on the mission part? And when we have this dialogue, I think you don't always completely agree with me, but mission build up on the cleansing maybe. You know what I mean? I think we emphasize more the ethical, moral part and less the mission part, when mission should be part of our ethical thought.
I think that's a very good question. Mm. I think this is the gift of us coming from different pastoral experiences,
yeah.
dealing with different people in different areas, not just in our parishes, but just in people we know. I would say you're right, if we were to be too obsessed with the cleansing part. But I would disagree, and I'd say I don't think that's one of the major problems in the life of the church today. And I do think we've been making a shift in a reorientation toward mission. Pastors like yourself and myself have tried to really make that shift. It's a culture change mm-hmm. that takes
sure.
time.
I think I agree with you.
I would say if that's the issue, that's true. It's certainly true in some people. And I was meeting with a group just recently, a wonderful group at one of the parishes, where there was a real focus on the official church teachings in a particular area. And I think we got a little too hung up on that rather than dealing with people and how we communicate mm-hmm. those teachings. But the mission part of it, hopefully those things always go together, of course.
I like the idea of the people were filled with expectation. Are we like this? Are we people filled with expectation? It means that maybe you don't know the details, but you are longing for something, as you said, that there is, you expect something to happen. And I think we enter into routines and we are not a people filled with expectation anymore.
I would agree with that.
Hmm.
We are not open to surprise, I don't think, or new things. And I know this is a little bit of a strong statement, but the more that our society has moved away from God, the more boring we've become, mm-hmm. the more predictable we become. Really, if you think about it, and I think there's something true about that, we're more boring, and the adventure of discipleship is unpredictable, and it's new life. The beauty of prayer is it calls forth new life, and I don't think we have a good sense of that. I think that actually is a very serious issue. We don't have a sense of expectation or anything new. We're stuck in our current bad news, even mm-hmm. for those who are disciples, we're stuck in our current struggles and disappointments.
Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. That's a fantastic ending for the third week.
I was just going to say that what a beautiful last line. What a great line. And I think that's a great way for us to wrap up as well. I think that's just a beautiful conclusion.
I agree. So am I getting anything for Christmas? I want to remind you that I gifted something to you and you said maybe that I would get something in the future. It's been 6 months.
Oh, I have not followed up on that. It's coming. It's coming.
We haven't even had dinner together yet.
Quick note, today is December 12th. That's a very major feast in the Americas, Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, recognizing an apparition of Mary in the year 1531
in Tepeyac.
Mm-hmm. And this has become the Feast of All the Americas. But that event, some say, is responsible for really the evangelization of Mexico and just a very important feast. So by chance, depending on when you're hearing this episode, if you're listening to it on Wednesday, watch kind of Catholic news sites. You're going to see major pilgrimage to Mexico City, to the Basilica
mm-hmm.
there. One of the gifts of this particular apparition is an image of Mary that's on the tilma or mm-hmm. the jacket or the cloak of Juan Diego. But, you know, there's studies that have been done on that. There really is almost something miraculous about mm-hmm. that image. It kind of floats above the cloth. So it really is worth finding out more about this feast and recognizing this great feast in honor of Our Lady.
A couple of things. She's mulata. She's not not black, she's not white, she's mixed, mm-hmm. and she's pregnant.
Pregnancy,
which
yeah.
is one of another interesting thing about Our Lady of Guadalupe.
All right. Well, excellence. How about we get together next week and continue this discussion on the fourth Sunday of
As
Advent?
We continue approaching Christmas, we would love to see you in any of our communities. There are parishes in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee and other places. They would love to have you.
Well, how about we get together next week and talk about the fourth Sunday of Advent and continue on this journey?
Let's do that.
All right, good. I'll see you next week.
See you next week, Philip.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.